In 1994, Henry Keough was charged with the murder of his fiancée, Anna Jane Chaney. The trial and guilty verdict that followed made huge headlines. Supporters fought for years to free Keough, who they claimed was victim of a miscarriage of justice. And he is now free, 20 years on. But his case raises many legal questions. Journalist Graham Archer has followed the story closely and he's now written a book about it called The Unmaking of a Murder. He came into the studio and talked about the case earlier today. He told me about Anna Jane and Henry before the murder happened.
They were 6 weeks away from being married. Her fiancé came home on a Friday night. They'd had drinks at the Norwood Hotel. Fiancé came home on Friday night and found Anna Jane slumped in the bath, struggled to remove her and managed to do so, tried CPR and there was a blockage in her airways. So I called the ambulance, police ambulance arrived and she was pronounced dead.
So originally Henry Keough was a devastated fiancé, but then suspicion fell on him. Can you outline why the mood towards him changed?
Yes, I can. At one point it became a question of what was in Anna Jane's will, and the police asked Henry if he could supply the will. He was the sole beneficiary, but also he produced insurance policies which were over Anna Jane's life. There were five in total, totalling $1.2 million, on which he had signed her name. So obviously that was grounds for suspicion, why he would do that, and it also provided, a motive.
And everybody loves a conspiracy.
They do.
It goes to court. The evidence is still circumstantial, but at this point the testimony of a pathologist became crucial. Tell me about Colin Manock.
It did. Colin Manock was the state's chief forensic pathologist, had been for 30 years, had performed up to 10,000 autopsies, was considered very experienced. And he discovered during the autopsy what he believed was a hand grip, which was a pattern of bruises on her left leg. And he surmised that this hand grip was the blueprint, if you like, of murder, that Henry had scooped up Anna Jane's legs over her head and had drowned her, and these bruises were the telltale sign of human intervention in her death.
Given that Colin Manock, the pathologist, was later discredited and that the apparent bruise that swung the jury to believe that Keough was guilty turned out not to exist, why was it so hard to get him out of jail?
Why did it take so long to get to court? Partly the difficulty is in the system, that once all your appeal options have been exhausted, there is something legally called finality, and getting past that is very, very difficult. So there was no direct legal avenue for Henry Keough to get back into court. He had to go through a cumbersome and inequitable petition for mercy process, which basically put the decision in the hands of the Attorney General. That decision had no time limit on it. It had no rights of appeal. The reasons for rejection were not required. So it was a completely mysterious process, and that failed Henry Keough about three or four times.
Also, it was a case of public opinion and politics too, wasn't it?
Because very much
there
so.
Wasn't much will to get Keough out, except amongst a group of dedicated supporters.
Absolutely none. And look, Keough initially got extremely critical press, as you can imagine. I mean, the murder was looked upon as an act of greed and betrayal, and he had no friends. This was the least likely murder case to turn over, I have to say. And from a public point of view, people would say, why are you bothering? So there was that against him. Gradually, public opinion turned as the evidence that hadn't been put to the jury started to reveal itself.
Now, there was this crucial piece of evidence that remained hidden for a long time, and that's something that still disturbs you, that it wasn't brought to light even for Keough's supporters to
Indeed.
Use in court.
Well, there was the forensic evidence, which was proved not only to be flawed, but in one critical category, not to actually even exist. But during this petition process, the Crown consulted with a very, very highly qualified forensic pathologist who provided a very detailed report about the autopsy and the forensics of the case. And it was in his opinion that this was not a murder, that there was no forensic evidence to support the fact that she had died at the hands of somebody. Rather, it was his view that she had slipped and fallen or had a medical event, and this was a tragic accident. Now, that report was provided to the Crown in 2004 and did not become known to Keogh's defence until 2013. And that report basically was the Crown's responsibility. It fell into their laps. It was their expert. They had an obligation to reveal what he had said, and yet it effectively extended Henry Keogh's time in jail by 9 years.
And do you think it was incompetence or bureaucratic bungling, or was it deliberate in some way to keep it from the defence?
I don't know the answer to that. I have my suspicions, of course, because it was an inconvenient report. In fact, it contradicted everything the Crown had said, and said publicly after they'd read that report in a press statement. So, you know, it was an inconvenient report. I have been trying for 10 years and have had some success in the last couple of weeks through the Ombudsman in getting hold of the Solicitor General's opinion, and it was the Solicitor General who commissioned that report, his opinion to the Attorney General as to how to proceed. Now, we know how they proceeded. They knocked back the petition and Henry stayed in jail for another 7 or 8 years. But I'll be fascinated to read that report if I can ever get my hands on it.
That's Graham Archer. He's a journalist and author of The Unmaking of a Murder. Fantastic read. I'll put a longer cut of that on our website.